Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey, the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Everyone, and welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Hello, everybody.
And Dylan.
That's me.
And Father Matt.
Hello.
And so, as we typically do as we wrap up a season, and we're wrapping up our season tonight here, this will be the last podcast until October 1st. Or at least the first Saturday in October, which I think is like the 7th or 6th or 7th. Anyway, of October, we try to do a Q&A night where, you know, if our studio audience has any questions or comments that they'd like to make, and we try to take those and run with them. The 7th is the first Saturday. Thank you, Father David. And so we're going to do that tonight. And you all can make comments and ask questions as we go along. So tonight's basically driven by our audience. So if you don't have any questions, it's not going to be much of a podcast.
No pressure.
But I will, as we wait for questions to filter in, I'll kind of give a recap on our season a little bit. We've had a lot of good discussions. We had discussions on LGBTQIA in the Bible and the role of pastors and their responsibility to the church, the role of lay people, parishioners in the church, as well as talks about forgiveness and equality and just a lot of stuff this season. We had some really good podcasts, so if you didn't get a chance to listen or watch any of those, they're available online at our YouTube channel, Expanding Your Faith, and they're also available at anchor.fm/expandingyourfaith. And at facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. And you can catch up on all of those. Anybody have any thoughts about this season? Anything that you want to mention while we're sitting here waiting on questions to come in?
Thoroughly enjoyed the topics, I think. The more that you can relate to people where they are, the closer to, in our faith, the life of Christ that we live.
Right.
Jesus was very much in on current events around people and those things that were concerning them, instead of, you know, these high, lofty things that nobody was thinking or concerned about. I think understanding equality in our life is important, to treat everybody with love and grace. You may not necessarily agree with everybody or think everybody's perfect or anything of that nature, but treating people with that equality is very important, and with that love, that same love that Jesus treated everyone
sure
with. So I think that's great. I definitely enjoyed our discussion on the role of ministers. I think that was a good one. It's important. It's important for us to understand we obviously didn't exhaust the discussion on any one topic. So
the door is always open.
Always open to revisit certain things.
Right.
So good season, in my opinion.
Lars is new and wants to know who we all are, so I think that's a good avenue to start as well. We'll go around the table here. I'll start. I'm Bishop Greer Godsey. I am the presiding bishop of the Old Catholic Churches International. I am an old Catholic, not Roman Catholic. There is a big difference. Old Catholicism, we allow for married clergy, female clergy, LGBTQIA clergy. We practice all the sacraments. We don't deny anybody the sacraments. We're not on the authority of the Pope. I'm also the senior pastor at St. Francis Parish and Outreach in Augusta, Georgia. And we'll go to my left here, and Father Matt can introduce himself.
Father Matt Schnabel. I am the associate pastor at St. Francis. And on top of being my presiding bishop, Bishop Greer is also my diocesan bishop, so he is my direct boss in all things functional and non-functional.
Thought you were about to say all things bossy.
Yeah. I'm also the dean of the Old Catholic Institute, which is our seminary, which is a distance learning seminary. We use Oxford method and direct instruction to train our clergy candidates for both diaconate and priesthood orders, as well as being a foundation for people who want to deepen their Bible knowledge for the laity. So it's really a great, inclusive place to be. I'm very proud of that, because most seminaries only cater to clergy candidates in our movement. So.
That's correct. Very good. Thank you, Father Matt. Reverend Mark?
I am Reverend Mark Trim. I am the senior pastor of Metropolitan Community Church of Our Redeemer in Augusta, Georgia. And I have served in that capacity for the last, well, gosh, four and a half years. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
This will be my second pastorate. And I'm very happy and excited and proud to be a part of Metropolitan Community Church here in Augusta, Georgia, and have a wonderful group of people that are striving towards inclusivity and spreading God's inclusive love, welcoming everybody, celebrating everybody, and developing our love walk to greater depth. So we're excited for it and glad to be a part of the podcast here with such wonderful and esteemed colleagues.
All right. Thank you, Reverend Mark. Dylan?
Hi, my name is Dylan De Aguero. I also attend the Metropolitan Community Church of Our Redeemer in Augusta. I don't have as many accolades as these three, but I'm a music major at Augusta University, where I study voice. I'm a singer. And have a long history of musical theater, acting, stuff like that. That's my thing. just a student right now. And I also love MCC, because it's the first church I've ever been to that's actually made me feel safe and close enough to actually worship God in a way that didn't make me feel like I was excluded. So that that's been a very humbling and loving walk this past year now. So.
And Dylan and Reverend Mark are kind of a thing there.
Just a little bit.
kind of.
Partners.
They're an item.
To clarify, we met before I knew he was a pastor. Just
that's right.
Saying.
Yes, yes.
As Dr. Howe says, we call them life partners.
Life partners. Our parish, St. Francis Parish and Outreach, and the Metropolitan Community Church of Our Redeemer have kind of a unique connection. They allow us space to worship there, and we assist them as well in a variety of projects that they do. And some of their outreach stuff we help with.
Some good fellowship.
Good fellowship. It's a great connection, and we're so happy to have them as partners with us in ministry, because there are great people there. So.
And likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so that's a little bit about us. Now we're going to go around the room for all of our watchers. No, I'm just kidding. Let them tell us about themselves. No, I'm not going to do that to y'all. But this podcast actually started, give a little history on it. It started back in about 2004, 2005. Father David Jennings and myself were doing it on an application called Blog Talk Radio, where he could call in from Kentucky and I could be here in the Georgia area to host it. And we looked at a variety of biblical things, as well as having on authors and everything else to talk about their books and upcoming projects. After about a year and a half, Blog Talk went all paid, and very expensive all paid platform. It was like $100 a month, and we were like, nope, we can't afford that. So
it's a lot.
The podcast kind of went on a hiatus for many years, and we resurrected it about 2 years ago now with a whole new format and a new roundtable of people. And for the first few seasons, it was me and Father Matt, and then Reverend Mark started joining us. And so this last couple of seasons have been pretty much the four of us here talking about all things spiritual and religious, faith-driven, and then sometimes just things going on in the world.
And brief flyby commentary by Miss Luna.
That's right. Miss Luna comes in from time to time, my daughter, who's also been a host on the podcast from time to time, and she comes in to give us her thoughts from time to time as well. So you just never know who's going to pop in on a Saturday night here. But yeah, we've enjoyed doing the podcast. It's kind of part of our outreach at St. Francis, but it's also just a good time for people to come around and hang out and talk as well. We used to live stream to both TikTok and YouNow for the podcast, but TikTok became way too much. Very toxic. And so in the past week and a half, I have divested myself entirely of TikTok.
Yay.
And those accounts will go dark in about another probably 15 or 20 days. Those accounts will go completely dark as I deactivate them. And we stick here to YouNow. So.
Do we have any questions or questions among us?
Yeah, right at the moment we don't have any questions, but I'm sure somebody is sitting there thinking of some.
I have questions.
Go ahead.
For each of you, at what age did you know that ministry was going to be a part of your future? And how did you know?
Wow. Well, I'll start off.
Concise answers. Concise. No.
Format.
So I'll do it in my favorite format, okay? Picture it. Sicily.
Okay, Sophia Petrillo.
1981.
I so love Sophia from the Golden Girls.
I was born.
Is she your spirit person?
She's my spirit person.
She was
great. Estelle Getty was amazing. So there's really not a time that I didn't know I was called to ministry. And I think most of the clergy in my life early on kind of knew it too. They kind of pegged it in me, and all of them worked hard to educate me on the faith, not just, you know, the basics that every child gets growing up in a Catholic, Roman Catholic family, but beyond that, you know, at the age of 7 and 8, I was reading the actual documents from Vatican II, you know, reading the documents from Trent, reading the documents from the 7 ecumenical councils. I mean, it was, I was a nerd.
At 7?
7 and 8. I was very much a nerd. And
I was still playing Transformers.
Right?
There's a picture in there on my desk of me at 8 years old saying Mass. My grandmother had made vestments for me, and the local priest had given me host, and we actually, I could say Mass forward, backwards, and sideways at the age of 8. And so it's always been something I've known I was called to do. I guess it became more real as a teenager when I tried to run away from it, tried to avoid ministry, and God said, where the hell you think you're going? And so he pulled me back into it, and I've been a bishop for now. This is my 25th year of ministry, so.
Happy 25.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Father Matt.
So, I've probably known that I was going to be in the ministry at some point since I was about 11 or 12. But what extent with ministry and actually pursuing the priesthood wasn't actively discerned and started until I was 19.
Nice. Oh, we're not talking about me. No. I probably knew around 10 or 11. I preached my first message at 12. And
you're all making me look like a chump now.
No.
Same.
No.
8 and you
preaching at 12.
God knows.
Doesn't mean it was good. I'm just
joking. Exactly. Doesn't mean it was good.
Leave it to Dylan.
Of course, I was raised in the Protestant Pentecostal circles. I had, I was started preaching regularly by the age of 16. I was pretty heavily involved in just about any church I was a part of, praise and worship wise. Started learning the piano about age 15, and then started playing and being involved in praise and worship, traveling, and then my first pastorate, I took the church when I was 22. I was part of a church that I was helping with worship, the pastor needed to resign and move back to his home state of Florida for some personal reasons. It was a church of about 11. 10 people were getting ready to leave. And I agreed to take over the church. And in about 6.5 years, we grew from that up to over 100. And I went to seminary during that time. Traveled extensively, and then resigned that pastorate, and was out of the ministry for a few years on a full-time basis. Helped a couple of my friends with worship, and then really was kind of on a interesting journey in life, re-examining my faith and doctrine. I'm sure a lot of us have, well, those sitting here were taught certain things, and then as you grow and you study and you discern, you realize, okay, that was not quite
Right?
In the 5-year gap before I started.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So a lot there. And then in 2013, I was asked to become the worship minister at MCC here in Augusta. And I stayed in that capacity until 2018.
Good long ministry.
Even though I'm not a minister. I actually believe, it's weird, like I feel like in another life I could have, I feel like I could have been.
Sure.
I just didn't have the circumstances when I was younger to kind of draw me to that path. But I used to live in Washington in a very small town, and my jiu-jitsu sensei was a pastor and very involved in his church and a very like naturally, it's weird to say it, but like he was very naturally gifted in just faith, because it just made sense to him. He always knew the right thing to say, and that always I always knew that if I had an issue I could talk to him.
Sure.
And it did inspire me a lot, and if I would have stayed, he probably would have mentored me in a way to spread the gospel and spread the word of God. Because I mean, I believe in helping people, and I don't know, it's not like tooting my own horn, but I feel like I'm pretty good at that. I've always been told that. I don't know how to say it, even though it's not verbatim what people have told me, but people tell me similarly that I have a gift for trusting the wisdom of God, and like kind of, because that's the lens I always look through, is not like what would Jesus do, but like I just kind of I don't usually know what to say, but I just kind of let whatever is on my heart flow through. Like I trust how I need to respond, what the right response is, and blah blah blah. Not perfect, but and ministering to people is not just telling somebody a Bible verse and then
right.
You know, having some analysis on it, but it's also just speaking with people. So I think in another life I would have wanted to be, so I just wanted to say that.
I think he's practically perfect in every way.
I was trying to
thank
say
you,
it,
Mary Poppins.
I didn't sound too conceited. I was
at first I was gonna thought he was gonna say, you know,
actually I've been preaching on the side, none of you knew.
Right.
Who's your side dealer?
Wow, that's great.
So we're doing a QA night tonight, just for those who have just joined us. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to discuss, you're welcome to put them there in the chat window, and we'll get to them as quickly as we can.
No question is off limits, but we have the right to say.
Yeah, right. No idea.
If you ask us what the Norse tradition teaches on that, some of us may go, I don't know.
I am well versed in Star Trek lingo, so I can help you on that one.
To answer your question, Wita, I was about 2.5 hours away. I was up north. I was like right on the border. You might have heard of it, but it's Northport, Washington. It's right on the border of where Canada and Washington are, right in the right-hand corner. It's a cute little place.
Was that a question?
Yeah.
How far away did I live from Spokane, Washington?
Diamond says, I have a question. Who is Jesus to you?
Ooh.
Well,
oh,
that
wow.
Kind of goes to the gospel this Sunday.
Well, tune in to the gospel.
We have 2 back-to-back services that will help you.
That's right. I will give you my thoughts.
I'm actually not preaching on that angle. So.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus was a divine teacher who came to point us to God the Father. I believe that it behooves us as those who claim to follow Christ to actually, live his teachings. I know that's kind of a novel concept for a lot of people today. But I think that we have to live his teachings. And if we don't, then we're going to hear dreaded words when we stand before him. So that's kind of my take on it. Anybody else want to jump in?
Sounds since I'm not answering the question, who is Jesus, in my homily, Jesus, well, that actually was a question that was on one of my discernment boards in the Episcopal Church, was somebody asked me, who is Jesus? And blinked for a second, and I answered, well, first and foremost, Jesus is my best friend. Because, and it sounds
hokey. And that's gospel. That's gospel.
And it sounds hokey and stupid and juvenile, but literally there have been times in my life where if I had not trusted and known Jesus, I would be at the bottom of a river somewhere.
Same.
Right.
So, that to me was the best way to answer that. Sure. Yes, we can speak a whole bunch of doctrine and say that Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen prophet of God that was spoken about. You know, proclaim the Nicene Creed in 500 paragraphs. But if Jesus is not... If Jesus is not your friend and you proclaim yourself as a Christian, then you're not truly living faith to its fullest potential.
Amen.
Absolutely. Well, and some people will say, well, look at Father Matt making the gospel very casual or what. Well, obviously you haven't read it, because Christ turned to his disciples and no longer do I call you servants, but today I now call you friends.
Amen.
And I think it's a deeper meaning of, I always look at the scripture and the Bible as layered, because some of us, we can read scripture, we get the surface on things, and it's, you know, some people's capacity is very, you know, surface oriented, and then other people enjoy the challenge of the deep things, and the scriptures layer themselves, and as you ponder them, the Spirit, I believe, reveals the depth of it. Christ, to me, of course, is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus came to the earth to show us the kingdom and to let us know that we can have that fellowship with God. And as Father Matt said, Jesus is my friend, because I converse with God in the Spirit on a regular. And friends, if you're friend with Jesus, it means... And if you have that mindset that God, that Christ is our friend, then you're going to have that interaction, and his influence rubs off on you. And that influence, of course, is the teachings and the ways that he taught us to live here in the earth, treating people with kindness and love and grace and mercy. That's going to rub off on you.
And it hits on everything, because if you say Jesus is friend, because how can you have true confession if you can't freely go to him with everything?
Right.
How can you have true repentance and know that you're going to be forgiven if you don't have that trust built in?
Right. And I believe Christ shows us the way to God and the way to eternity and the way to eternally live. I really like that dynamic in the kingdom, as opposed to just focusing on eternity, because we're taught more by Jesus how to live the kingdom here than what life after death is.
Yes.
And I was raised in a group that completely focused on, you know, one day we'll know God because we'll die and we'll be in heaven. And I always had a problem with that, because I believe that Jesus taught us the way to live here. And if we focus on the way to live here, everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will follow, because Bishop loves to quote the scripture, you know, a new commandment I give you, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do all of those three things, because some people think it's just two, love God, love your neighbor. It's three things: love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we're loving ourselves, then we're putting ourselves in position to grow, to be more like Christ, and then everything else starts to follow. So Jesus to me is one of the greatest and the greatest examples of how to be a kingdom-minded person, the kingdom of God. And the easiest way for me to say what the kingdom of God is, it's God's way of doing stuff.
Amen.
And we just do it that way.
Well, and also when you love yourself, I mean, it automatically makes it easier to love other people. And so I don't know, I think faith is just more than a feeling. It's more than an acceptance. It's a relationship. To have faith is to know Jesus. And yeah, I feel like a lot of this mentality that we have to revere God and that we can't treat it as so commonly or lax, I guess. I don't know. I feel like that kind of defeats the purpose of knowing God, because yeah, like when you go to work, you don't tell your boss something that's going on personally in your life, because that's just kind of, like, he's your boss. So yeah, like you can't tell your boss what's going on in your life because he's not your friend, you know. And when you with your friends, you can tell them those things that are on your heart and that are weighing you down. So it'd be weird to tell God, who you're thinking is your, like, he is your boss, but, like, you know, speaking with that type of relationship in mind only, is you can't speak to God then. It'd be very inappropriate and awkward, and you can't really show him your struggles and show him what you need help in your life.
That's a good point.
Excellent.
Diamond has another question. How can you experience Jesus in your personal life? Well, I try to have coffee with him every morning.
Coffee is essential.
One of the things that I think a lot of people... I don't know if they forget or they just never were educated about in spiritual life, is the fact that there's not a set process, set program of how you should do things when it comes to a personal relationship with Jesus. I think a lot of churches focus on ritual protocols, and you gotta pray this way, you gotta talk this way, you gotta act this way. Well, when it comes to Jesus was a man like us in all things but sin. He understands the human condition, and he understands our day-to-day life. And by that same token, we can talk to Jesus just like you talk to anybody, you know. Having a personal relationship with Jesus is just as easy as going, "Hey, Jesus, how's it hanging?" You know, just talking to him like you would someone else. Taking time to read his teachings in Scripture and absorb that and let that permeate you. You know, that's his way of talking back to us. And of course, we interact with Jesus on a personal level every time we interact with one another.
That's right.
You know, if we truly believe there is a spark of the divine within each of us, then when we interact with one another, we're interacting with that spark of the divine within them. So we're interacting with Jesus. Paul, I think, says it best when he says that some have entertained angels unawares. And I think there are times when we've interacted with Jesus unawares. You know, I tell the story about Good Friday at the church years ago, and having a man come in who smelled of alcohol, and he had been a soldier. He'd come back from Iraq and Afghanistan very broken, and was homeless. His family had completely left him on the streets. And he came in just to have a moment out of the weather. And it had been raining and everything else. He was dripping wet. And he came in, and we sat and talked. I gave him some money. We didn't have blessing bags to give him. We gave him some money for some food. And he left. And Luna went to give him some more money she had found in her purse. And he had just walked out the door and down to the street. And he had disappeared. He was just gone. There was nowhere he could have gone. I mean, you could see both ways a good distance. And so I believe that day Jesus came to meet with us. And the one thing he asked for before he left, I said, is there anything that I can do for you? He says, I just want a hug. All I want is just a hug. And I gave him a hug. And he sat there and cried, you know. Those moments we interact personally with Jesus, I believe. Other thoughts?
Not as impactful, but it may make me sound crazy, but I talk to myself a lot. So, even with prayer, I mean, it's like essentially the same concept, but if I'm struggling through an issue, or especially, yeah, if like I need to tell somebody, or to like maybe have a difficult conversation, or I'm trying to workshop what I need to tell somebody, I speak it out loud. And I always find that by doing that, I feel like Jesus guides me in that process. And I always end up feeling, especially, yeah, if I also listen, you know, with my spirit. I mean, because I feel like that's where people have the disconnect, is like, oh, if you pray or if you're just talking to Jesus, it's like, well, he's not responding to me, so it's not different. He is responding to you. You just need to be receptive to it. And, right. And aware of it. Because, I mean, yeah, like, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. It's like, he has purposely went to heaven to, because, like, we need to learn on our own. We need to fall a bit and evolve on, by ourselves. Just like right. How Star Trek says, we can't, you know, interfere with a society's evolution. And I feel like that's probably the guise in which Jesus and God think, is that they felt like by, you know, when they were here physically, that they didn't need to interfere with our evolution. Like us, like them being here, we weren't ready for that. That's why people freaked out. And like, and I guarantee it would happen again today, even though we're 2,000 years advanced. But, you know, so you have to fight and dig a little harder in order to know Jesus. Not like, that's probably not the best way to say it, but you have to be more just spiritually aware. That may sound hokey, and I hope that helps, but I don't know. That's the way I do it. I talk to myself and talk to others. I just constantly fellowshipping, and because then also by doing that, it helps me answer questions that I didn't even know I had. That's all I have right now.
Steve asked the question.
Okay.
My longtime friend from when I was very young moved to the Philippines. What religion do they have over there? As it is interesting what religion other far countries have. Well, according to 2015 census, 80% of the population in the Philippines are Roman Catholics.
Which is a crock-a-hoo-y. But anyway.
9% other Christian denominations, Protestant, Jehovah's Witness, other such things. And Muslims make up about 10 to 11% of the Philippines. So.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Well, Indonesia is like right next door.
Well, yeah.
So
I only knew that a little bit just because a bunch of random people would constantly friend me on Facebook that are from the Philippines. And I was friends with them for a little bit, but all that they had in common is they were, at the time I just had the word Christian, but now I can understand it was probably Roman Catholic, but all of them believe in God in some way, or not all of them, but a majority is that's the dominant belief. So
very cool. Thank you, Steve. Yes. Thank you, Diamond. Those are some good questions. Again, for those just joining us, if you would like to ask a question, you can in the chat there in the window. And we will answer them as quickly as we can. As you can hear, for those that get to see us on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel where you can watch the videos of these podcasts now. You see that we are sitting on my front porch. So those that are listening to us, that is why you hear thunder and lightning in the background and mowers and everything else from time to time during the podcast.
It's not a podcast without lightning or mowers.
That's right. Yeah, we
sometimes
have.
Sometimes both.
And sometimes in the middle of the summer, it's just starting to get dark. We have frogs and crickets and a menagerie of wildlife that join us on our podcast as well. So, yeah.
I have a potential question we could end on.
Okay.
What steps should one take when they feel as if, like, as if they feel forsaken or as if Jesus isn't there? Like, how do they find that way back to Jesus, in a sense?
Well, that's a very good question.
I feel like that could be beneficial.
You're probably going to get three different answers.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to start, Reverend Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to overcomplicate certain things because you have to think of people that are in dire situations and in dire circumstances and that need God quickly. You know, maybe you're in a challenge with things between your ears, those things that your mind is telling you, or so on and so forth. Fellowship with Christ is as easy as simply calling out Christ's name. It's no more complicated than saying, Jesus, help me. I've been there when I've contemplated attempted suicide and to harm myself, and you feel something grab you, and the only thing I could muster was, Jesus, help me. And there's a song that says he's as close as the mention of his name, and I think that's the way God would do it, because how else do you, when you're in critical, because I look at the extreme, you know, you can't go to an altar if you're in a life and death situation. You can't make it to a church. So obviously, God's not going to overcomplicate it, not to downplay coming to the altar, not to downplay fellowship with the church by no stretch of the means. But to me, that's a starting point, and that's a place you can always go when you don't know what to do or say. To me, it's that simple.
Can you restate the question, please? I caught like five.
What steps do you need to take when you feel as if when you can't feel Jesus' presence, and if you feel forsaken, how do you find your way back from that?
Been there.
That's why I asked.
Yes. But the there's no easy way to do that, because John of the Cross, I believe, calls that the dark night of the soul. So it's that pit inside of you that's that empty space. So for a lot of people, they choose to run during that time, but the true test of that moment is actually looking toward the light, not away from the light. And what better way to look for the light than to find ways to reconnect yourself with your friend, Jesus? As Reverend Mark said, you're not always going to find yourself near a tabernacle, near the presence of Jesus physically in that moment, but it's as easy as looking up and saying, God, where are you? Jesus, where are you? Come help. As you said, come so aptly, come help me. And you'll be surprised at how quickly that call and cry is answered. I think it's a good assumption to say that everybody endures the dark night of the soul at some point during their walk here on this earth. It's what you choose to do with that moment that really defines what your fellowship and your strength and your fellowship and relationship with Jesus is.
I think it's also important, and I tell this to people all the time, to find somebody you trust spiritually to help guide you during that time. It's so easy to get mired down in that dark moment when you feel alone, when you feel forsaken, when you feel like there's nothing out there listening, as to have somebody who can kind of be that surrogate and say, yes, God still hears you, you know. You're not forsaken, you're not alone. And so it's important that you find somebody that you spiritually trust to help guide you in that time period. And, you know, prayer, as they have both said, reading scripture, you know, that's sometimes how God talks back to us, is through others and through his word. And so I think that those three are the main components, not only to finding your way back to the divine, but it's also a way to stay connected to the divine, is through prayer, scripture, and somebody you spiritually trust to walk that path with you.
So I would add that to deepen that, once you get to that place where you perhaps have called out and have made that first either fall in the right direction or small crawl or first step, is just to simply do what Jesus would do. And I hate to be cliche-ous about that, but find somebody to be kind to in a moment. Practice giving what joy you have, and you'll find that joy multiplied inside of you. The quickest way to connect to Christ outside of calling and just saying help, I believe, is to follow in the footsteps of how Jesus would respond daily and situationally.
I mean, how many times did Jesus say to look at your navel and feel sorry for yourself, right?
Yeah.
No, he said get off your duff and go do something.
Yeah, and we see that multiple times, whether he's talking to the woman at the well, who everybody shuns, encouraging people that he had just touched and healed or given a word to go and spread the good news, speaking to the one at the Pool of Bethesda and encouraging them, and so on and so forth. And even in the midst of his own crucifixion, praying for all of us, God forgive them, and encouraging the thief on the cross, hey, you'll be with me. You know, the thief obviously didn't have great faith at that moment. He was in the desperation, and yet Jesus had compassion and pity and said, right, you'll be with me.
You'll get through this. You'll be there with me.
Because you've called out. And so those are encouraging examples of how we can connect to Christ and to God's presence.
Something that comes to mind is, you know, Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, you know, disconnected from everyone, being tempted by the devil, a moment where we see Jesus experiencing kind of that dark night. He spent time in the Garden of Gethsemane begging God to, you know, take this away from him if he can, but if he can't, give him strength. And a moment when he felt alone and he felt disconnected. And what did he do? He came out of those situations, even as drained as he was, and went and helped others.
Right.
You know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the middle of betrayal, he heals Malchus's ear.
Yep.
You know, and so I think you're right, Reverend Mark. You know, participating in those acts like Jesus would of kindness and love and compassion to others is a good way to find that path back as well.
And start where you are, because some days you may not be able to muster hardly anything. You know, start with one smile, start with one kind response. Just start where you are and build on it.
Right.
Some days we don't have the energy to to do it extensively. And I believe God honors the small steps, the small faith that we have in those moments.
Steve has a question. He says, what is your personal view of heaven? My view is a long escalator at the top, golden gates, and on angels are singing just pure happiness. I think heaven is a Buc-ee's. No.
Heaven is a place of... Heaven is a place of multiple samples of ice cream.
Multiple samples of ice cream.
I mean, I think it's, I don't know, it's probably not a good way to imagine of, like, where, oh, there's, I don't know, Jesus Avenue or something. It's not like a, it's not a mundane human little thing. I mean, maybe, I don't know, who knows, but, yeah, like, it's I think it's just, it's a place where the entire history of humanity has has found a center point where it, I don't know, it's something where all of them connect, agree upon whatever, like, it's just the perfect physical, spiritual manifestation of harmony, if speaking in musical terms, I guess. Where everything just fits together, where people just, you don't shy away from that stranger that you see sitting on the street, you don't give people weird looks, there's no clicks, it's just everybody is there vibing, whatever, if you want to say it that way. It's an oasis of love, yeah, it's just where everybody that are meant to be, you know?
I think that heaven will be whatever we envision heaven to be. I think God will, I think it's almost a, like a tailored to each particular person type thing.
I hope I can fly there. I want to fly like Superman.
It'd be cool, because it probably, you know, as every new identity comes into heaven, it like a new addition gets added.
Right.
Like a new personality or whatever.
Right. And my personal heaven is going to be a tiny home in the middle of nowhere, where I can go see people when I want to and be alone when I want to. Mm-hmm. No, I think that to a certain degree, heaven is kind of whatever you view it as, whatever makes you happiest, whatever makes you feel most connected to the divine. So, yeah, that's a good way of putting it too, harmony. I like that. All of us in harmony.
I believe that.
Any closing thoughts?
Wonderful season. Great discussions. Appreciate you giving us all the opportunity to lend our voice to some topics.
And we hope that you all will be with us again next season, starting in October.
For a new and exciting season.
You know, I really love these opportunities for us to get together and talk in these ways, even though we do it almost three times a week now. But it's not every day that three queer theologians get to sit together and chat. So also in
true.
A dynamic
with
way.
With a music / physics major.
Right.
Yeah.
So it, I mean,
you're a little genius.
I hate to sound trite, but in my limit, in my experience with this, typically the queer voice is usually the token that's brought out and sat in the corner and go say something pithy every now and then, and we'll do the real talking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So this is the real way to have that true engagement.
Sure. Bring your thoughts to any subject, anything, but limit it to 30 seconds total.
Right. And make it gay for 15 of those 30.
Right. Right.
That's my favorite word, by the way. You'll catch on.
That's right. So we will be coming back to you the first Saturday in October, October 7th. With a new season, brand new topics, and Reverend Mark and Dylan and Father Matt and myself all thank you for all of your support and continued support as we continue to make content. Without you, these podcasts would be utterly useless. So,
for those of you in British countries, that date is 7/10/23.
Yes, okay. And so... until then, God loves you, and so do all of us.
Yes, we do.
Keep shining bright, my friends.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on Facebook.com/ Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.